1. We'll start reading in verse 8. We'll read through verse 14. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. Is that a bus kid? Okay. And then verse 14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. God's working through prayer. Are there two people in that room? Are there two adults? Okay, thank you. God's working through prayer in the first century church. It is still the way he works today. He works through prayer. Prayer makes a difference. How many times has God's man stood between the people and God? Prayer makes a difference. It really does make a difference. We know that when times get hard, because when things are really up against it, what do? We pray. We pray. Generally, we pray when we've done all that our hands could do first. That's my tendency. My tendency is do what I can first and then pray. I probably got that backwards. No, I do have that backwards. We should pray first. We should always pray first. The prayer life of the first century church, as we see specific things about this, needs to be the prayer life of the Faith Bible Baptist Church, of each one of us. Of each one of us on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and each day of the week. The Lord Jesus ascended up into heaven, and the disciples returned to Jerusalem. There they met in an upper room and prayed. The Bible says that the first century church continued with one accord in prayer. And the second half of your memory verse is, and with the women, and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the first century church prayed, not just the men, but the women also. And as you go through the New Testament, you see so many times women having a key part in prayer in the church, even in ministry in the church. And look at our churches today. How many of these Sunday school rooms downstairs this morning have women in them teaching tomorrow's Christians? So we see the women also, but they continued with one accord. With one accord. They were together. There wasn't the backbiting and the other stuff that can go on when people are walking in the flesh instead of in the spirit. In the New Testament, we find the church having two different kinds of meetings. First, we find the church gathered together for the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Then second, Secondly, we see the second kind of meeting was a prayer meeting. Some of our churches today have sadly neglected the prayer meetings. The big thing today seems to be praise and worship. People come into church, bring in the world's music, putting it with Christian words, calling it Christian whatever, Christian rock or Christian whatever, which it certainly is not. Music in and of itself is either sinful or righteous. Music in and of itself is either sinful or righteous. We see music a big part in the Old Testament. All the instruments and all that, as the ark moved and as the people moved, music is important today. Right music is important. Prayer meeting. The most needful thing that you and I can do, the most needful thing that this church has, is when you and I kneel together in prayer. One heart, bonded together. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name alone is authority and power. He is our conquering Christ. We must come to God together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to God together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we said before, probably our greatest failures are our seeming successes that are not done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The things we do in life on our own abilities, our own talents, without praying to God ahead of time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for His guidance and direction, for His power, for His Spirit. If we're not careful, we will force our way through life instead of faithing our way through life. Force our way, our own abilities, instead of walking by faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We need to faith our way through life instead of forcing it with our abilities, our powers, whether it be abilities to persuade people to do things, whatever it may be. It needs to be a life of faith that we are living. And that life begins in the morning or whenever your day starts. It begins with some time with the Lord in prayer. I hope that as we go through this and as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, that that prayer, that God's word would become more important to us, and that we grow through His word and through His Spirit. The first century church declared its absolute dependence upon the Lord. Acts 1:14. Acts 1:14, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. The church met together, here not to preach or teach, but to pray. They needed to know what to do. What are we going to do now? He's gone. What are we going to do now? We're going to do what he told us to do, aren't we? He had told them ahead of time what was going to happen, what was going to take place. We have his written word. This is our final authority for all matters, faith and practice. This is it. We have it. They knelt and they prayed together in one accord, declaring their dependence upon God. And they waited on the Lord for an answer. They waited on the Lord for an answer. We never waste time waiting on God. He's never late. His timing is always right. His timing is always right. We never waste time when we wait on the Lord, when we wait for the Lord's timing. The first century church sought God for laborers through prayer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Pray. When you and I pray, God will answer prayer, won't he? He might even send you or I. You know, people that I went to Bible college with, and they, number of years later, after serving the Lord in the local church, retired out of Ford or out of wherever, and went off into the mission field. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Pray it might be you. Pray it might be your kids. Pray it might be your grandkids. That the Lord would send forth laborers. The first century church sought laborers through prayer. They prayed for laborers. Then the first century church came together as one body in agreement through prayer. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, we know that the passage of reconciliation of a brother. A brother has walked disorderly. We meet with them and we go through the steps called out here in Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read in verse 19 and 20. Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. Here again, dealing with discipline in the church. But notice they came together in agreement. Two or three people here had gone to the, would go to a person with a concern, with the idea of repentance and reconciliation. But they did this together. They did it together. It was not a half-hearted thing. It was a serious matter. Did it together, bonded in hearts, bonded in purpose, that God's name would be glorified. Matthew 18 teaches us that as the church is to come together as one body in agreement. In many churches, people do not agree with one another and do not love one another because they do not pray together. I know personally, we came from Michigan, and we were in our church there for over 30 years. And we got to New York, and it's not easy to try to find a church that's like your other church or whatever. So this was actually our third church since we've been in New York. But I'll tell you, I was in a church, and there were some people that, I mean, they were these guys right here. They should have been tossed out on their ears after going through these steps, because there was no love there for their pastor, no love there for for people that were doing right. So that's out there. You know, we read these things, and I don't think we have that here. I've been here over a year. I've not heard any of that. I've not heard any of that, not even a whisper of it. I think everybody here loves each other. So we read this stuff, and we think, does that really go on? Oh, yeah, it really goes on. It really does. Maybe not here, but it really does go on. So we need to pray. We need to pray in unity. The first century church sought God's protection through prayer. We read in Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray that we enter not into temptation. Prayer is important. It's important that we pray. It's important that we pray so we not enter into temptation. The devil will bring his greatest temptations across our path at our weakest moments. So then the way that we need to be strong is through prayer being prepared ahead of time, being ready ahead of time. I'm a first responder at the plant, and the important thing about being a first responder is being prepared, being ready. If there's a fire, if there's a heart attack, if it's whatever, it's being prepared, being ready, being able to get the equipment to where it's needed and respond. As Christians, we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to be prayed up. We have to be walking in the Spirit. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And entering into temptation, asking God to help them from not entering into temptation. Are we praying for our pastor? Are we praying for others in the church? Do we pray for each other by name? Do we pray for each other by the need that they have in their lives? By what's going on? Do you know what other people are up against? We do because we fellowship. We walk in one body and one spirit together, and we know some of the things that each other goes through. And we need to pray by name, and then we need to pray by need. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts 4. Verse 23 through 29, the first century church had increased faith and enlarged vision through prayer. Acts 4, 23 through 29. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all them that, and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, gathered together. Am I reading at the right place? What's that? I am? Okay. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Look at verse 13 with me. Verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and yet they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. If you and I, I'm sorry, when you and I have been with the Lord, as we see Peter and John here had been with the Lord, people would know that. It will be evident in our lives. As we see in verse 13, they didn't look at these men as scholarly men, and yet they realized there was something special about them. They realized that they had been with Jesus. If you and I want to have a first century church, we are going to have to pay the price in prayer. The first century church faced great trials through prayers. In Acts chapter 12, and this is what we skipped last week and didn't do any of. Turn with me to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. They faced great trial here because Peter had been in prison. How did they deal with the crisis? They gathered together at Mary's house and they prayed. Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and he delivered him to four quaternion of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And we see in verse 7, the angel of the Lord came. Verse 8, the angel said unto him, get dressed, we're leaving here. We see Peter here chained between soldiers. We see 16 soldiers here. Then we see that Peter followed the angel out in verse 10. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. That gate swung open that night by the power of prayer and the power of God. All that happened that night because of the power of God and the power of God's people that had met in the house. Verses 11 and 12. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the things, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered in prayer. James had been killed with the sword. Herod then nabbed Peter and said, boy, the Jews really like this killing Christian stuff. I'll do some more of that. So they nabbed Peter and they put him under guard of 16 soldiers. And none of that has anything to do. 16 soldiers doesn't slow down God, and it doesn't slow down prayer. Prayer made a difference this night. It made a difference. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In times of crisis, we should pray for one another. The first century church sought God for opportunities to get out the gospel. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, 1, 2, and 3. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. a door of utterance, that we pray ahead of time for opportunities to share the gospel. Wrong numbers on our telephone. Are those wrong numbers? No. That's somebody who needs to hear the gospel. That's somebody who we need to say the question to. May I ask you a question? I had a voice come over the phone the other day. I believe her name was Jane. On my answering machine, she left her phone number and everything. And I called her back, and we discussed what was going on. Does anybody here know how to get rid of diamondback rattlesnakes? Humanely. No, not you, Russ. I know how you'd get rid of them. No, humanely. She was looking for someone to do that. And we talked for a little bit. But then I took her to God's word and just asked her, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I don't know what she's thinking on the other end. And I guess it doesn't really matter what she's thinking on the other end. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. Never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. But we tend to. I do. I get afraid. Oh, I'll say the wrong thing, or I won't. They'll ask me a question. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. Take those opportunities. When that phone rings and they think it's a wrong number, it's not a wrong number. They just need to hear the gospel. It's mine and your job. God uses us to get the gospel out. We have to do that. Here they prayed for a door of opportunity, a door of utterance. Never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. Give God's word out. We never know what will happen. The church was asked to pray that God would open a door of utterance. We must ask God to open up doors of opportunity to get the gospel out to the lost. We must work hard and be diligent. But it is prayer that opens doors and keeps them open. God will give us direction as we seek Him. The author here talks about prayer and things that he's seen done in his ministry. He wanted to get the Bible into the public school, and he's from the South, and everybody said you can't do it, and they prayed, and the church prayed. Right now he's in 32 public schools with the gospel. Prayer can make a difference. He has regular classes, not he himself, with the college kids have regular classes in 32 public schools presenting the gospel. Prayer can make a difference. Prayer can make a difference. Prayer is the main thing, as Pastor has said. Prayer is declaring our absolute dependence upon God. As you go through these lessons, as you go through God's word, hope that you're praying, Lord, what is it that you want for me from this lesson? What do you want me to do this week? What do you want me to do today? When you wake up tomorrow morning, you think, I need to pray, I need to spend some time with the Lord, and I need to ask Him what He wants me to do today. Maybe next to your phone have the question written down. May I ask you a question? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? Have it written down. Have a gospel tract laying there. Have something there so you get that question in, you get God's word in. Don't miss those opportunities. Take them. Never for fear of feeble man restrain your witness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the power through prayer. We've seen throughout your word, we've seen what prayer can do. In our lives, we've seen what prayer can do. Lord, yet so many times, we go through so many days without praying for your guidance and direction in our lives. Lord, we want to honor you in our lives. And Lord, we'll do that through prayer. Lord, we're studying being like the first century church. Lord, what it's really about, it's really about that we want to honor you. We want to please you. We want to live holy lives to your glory. We pray that through your Spirit and through your word, through the encouragement of each other, that we would do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.